Like, okay, so Colin O'Donoghue is totally like freaking hot. Have you seen him? I mean, have you freaking seen him? Like, no freaking way.
God.
Brilliant.
You do Valley Girl, people.
I do, yeah, Valley Girl. Thank you. I'm here all night. I'm here all night.
Welcome to episode 23 of Once Upon a Captain Swan. I'm your host,
Yes.
Sarah, and we got a small crew today, but that's all right. We'll make it
Yeah,
work. We
we
have
can.
J-Mo,
Hello.
Lindsay,
Ahoy.
Gabrielle,
I'm sporty here.
and Kimberly.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Yes.
Had a bit too much to drink last night,
Gabs. We all
Yeah.
had a little too much to drink last night.
Howdy, Gabs.
Yeah, Lindsay, I don't want to see that wine anymore.
It's all right. I'm on whiskey now. It's all right.
Don't even talk about it. Ah.
She just went straight Scottish when she said it's all
She
right.
did, yeah.
You can.
Right, so, what was I talking about?
Colin O'Donoghue being hot. That's the new
So hot. So hot.
So hot.
So hot.
Today we are doing a big fan art appreciation episode to celebrate all the amazing CSers in our fandom that give us beautiful drawings, manips, gift sets, and all this great stuff to look at on social media every day, every week, every month, all the time. It's beautiful. We love all of you guys. So this
Bless
episode is
you.
dedicated to you, and we want to appreciate you. We have two very special guests that we're going to get to later. We have Chris, aka Flipper Brain, and we have Bianca, aka Ships Ahoy. So they're going to come on and join us later for some questions. And it's going to be a fun episode.
I'm so excited.
But first,
It's
let's get this out of the way.
Y'all know what it is.
You know what's coming.
We had an episode last Sunday, the winter
Oh, did
finale.
we? Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Finale.
Episode 610, Wish You Were Here. All right, who wants to go first with their thoughts?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Don't all
You
jump
know,
at once.
yeah, you know it's bad when you wait till the night before you record the podcast to watch the episode. So
Ooh.
I did not watch the episode until late last night.
So it's fresh in your head.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's kind of how I was like, all right, I'm already hearing some not so great things and some okay things. And so I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either. You know what I mean? And so I lost my mind with Old Snow and Charming.
Oh, I know you
Lost
did,
my
babe.
mind. And Sweet Baby Henry, like there were parts of it that were great. There really were. Because that's something that I've always wanted to see, headcanon wise, is, you know, what would the Charming family look like if they were in the Enchanted Forest? Now, I'm sure I can speak for everybody when I can say that I am not pleased. Seriously, Kat, right now is when you're gonna do that.
There we go.
Just keep us moving.
Seriously, you know, I'm not happy with what they did with Emma. And I'm sure part of that was the wish, and that's fine, and I totally get that. But like, I'm sorry. It just rubbed me the wrong way. But I will say that I felt the twist was good because I was not expecting it. Like, I'm sitting there like, who's under the hood? Who's under the hood? Spoiler alert. And I was like, oh, it's Jafar, blah, 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 blah. No. Bing, bang. I actually said, holy shit. And that was like the only thing. Like, it wasn't like it was like a holy shit, I'm left reeling. It was just like a, oh, dang, they went there. All right. Okay. I can ride this wave. And so while I'm not happy with the episode, yeah, it was probably a solid five in my book, five or
Yeah.
six.
I would also give it a 5. It was okay, but really, it wasn't really a mid-season finale.
Yeah.
Books and the positives. The last 20 seconds for me personally was amazing. I am Sean Maguire trash. and I am glad Emma didn't jump in at the end, like in Supportal, because, you know, end of day, everyone went to the underworld for Hook. So it's understandable that, you know, Emma understands that, you know, it's Sean Maguire, you can't just walk away from that.
I didn't like what they did with his hair.
Yeah, well, it's so dark.
I was loving it. I was like, just give it to me. Just give it to me all.
I'm the cape. Which is weird for me, because you know I don't like the long hair on most people. And I was just like, oh, Sean, you look really good, but I'm not sure about that hair.
The cape. The positive was Captain Charming. I love them so much. They're amazing. I actually watched it before work, so I was pretty tired, and for one moment I did actually think they were going to kiss, and I was like, I still kind of want that to happen, please, you know, secretly deep down. And like Kim, you know, I get why we did this whole like wish world and everything, you know, oh, she's coming with a prize. They kept saying that about 7 times, but I'm so disappointed. I've been a fan of the show from the beginning, and one of the things that I really wanted was to see what it would be like of Emma growing up without the curse. And for them to just do it like they have done, it was very disappointing for me. So yeah, I am pretty sad. But the worst part of the episode for me was when Regina killed Emma's parents and then dismissing it as being not real. For Emma, in that moment, it was real. And you can't dismiss that. It's like earlier this year, I was having a really bad panic attack. And I won't say who it was, but like someone was like shaking me and saying, you know, you're overreacting, snap out of it. But, and you know, looking back, yeah, I did overreact. But in that moment, it was so real. And it was, you know, just to dismiss that is just, that really like upset me. So that was pretty shit. But overall, I liked Emma's outfits. I liked her singing and it was okay. It was a decent idea, but it was just poorly executed. So I would give it a 5 also.
I've watched this show like from the beginning, and this has been like the worst episode since ever. Like this season has just been such a big disappointment, and I feel kind of like upset with the writers, especially because I feel like they're so disconnected with their own show. But like for me, it's like between a 1 and a 3. There's no way that Snow being Snow would ever let her child be that weak. So for her to be that, oh no, you know, here, you know, like that was just like, come on. I didn't like anything about it. So like nothing was resolved with Snowing as far as the curse over them. Where's Jafar at? I mean, that's...
Well,
yeah, because I love Odette, and plus, I mean, it's supposed to be Aladdin, you know, influence in the season, and we have not had any.
Yeah, it's like Dr. Andy as well. It's like bloody hell, where you gone?
Yeah, so it's just really annoying. I feel bad for the actors because they put so much time in this, and to get such shitty writing, it's really unfair to them.
Yeah,
but that's it. Can't talk about this.
I think Aladdin said it best. Ew.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was so funny. Just saying. I completely agree with everything Lindsay said, everything Gabrielle said. The scene when it comes, when Lindsay was talking about, you know, Regina killing Snow and David and just brushing it off, like, ooh, it wasn't real. And then when she sees Robin, like, ooh, he's here. Oh, my God. And Emma's like, he's not real, and she's not listening to him.
Exactly.
Stop using weak Emma to prop up Regina. That's all I'm going to say.
Preach it, J-Mo. Yeah. Preach.
And I'm giving it a 3.
Oh, dang, Gina.
Mm-hmm. Sarah?
Positives of this episode. Emma's wardrobe.
More cosplay ideas.
Yeah. But even that was hard to stomach because of how weak they made her character. And again, you know, I can understand their argument that this is a wish realm and that this is Regina's wish realm. But at the same time, then Adam comes on Twitter and says that, no, it's actually now a real world, and he contradicts himself. And so I don't know what to believe.
That's what's really annoying me. It's like, the writers don't even know. Like, Jane said one thing, Adam says another. They're not even talking in the writer's room. How concerning is that?
Yeah.
Very. Extremely.
So, I give it a 0. I think it was my least favorite episode ever.
I mean, I'd rather watch The Bear and the Bow 3 times over. Was that the Bear King? Like, sorry, whatever that episode
I wouldn't know because I still haven't watched that episode.
I mean, seriously, Sarah, you should watch the episode instead of that one.
I mean, I love Merida, so at this point, I'm all for it because... Yeah.
Are you saying you would watch Broken Mirror and I'll Be Your Mirror back-to-back over this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I'm confused.
Lindsay. Lindsay.
Oh shit, I forgot to put it on mute. I'm sorry.
You do not need it anymore, Lindsay.
I'm sorry.
I put it on mute, I'm sorry.
You better
say great stuff back for this conversation. We all need some drinks. I mean, I'll take some more drinks after that.
it sounded like the perfect pour, too.
Sorry, guys.
I'm crying. Oh my god.
Can we talk about the recall? I am a sucker for I can't remember the actual like term for it, but like when they did the wish and they cut to her with the star candle, that parallel.
Yes.
That
was cute.
Oh, I had so high hopes. I was like, oh, it's happening. Perfect. And then I thought we were going to Boston. Right? Like, I thought we were just going to go back to Boston. We were going to get to see Emma kicking ass being a bail bonds person for a while. You know, like, it was great shadow, and I'm always a sucker for that. Like, every time you recall something that was done and you do it right, it makes me so happy, but they didn't, and I was sad. That was a great moment. Like, that 5 seconds, right? Like, it was great.
Yeah.
But also, like, the only, like, see, that they shouldn't have sent Regina to go get her, because the only way Regina is resort to violence, but Killian or even Henry himself could have talked her out of it, but Regina has to go to violence.
Yeah, you're going to send the evil queen to a world where she's still the evil queen and then expect her to get through to everyone. No.
Exactly. It made no sense.
Yeah, Henry should have gone. So, we have a lot of thoughts from our listeners about this episode, not surprisingly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obi's girl on Twitter gave it a 1. It didn't make sense upon first viewing, plus no interaction between Princess Emma and Hook in the Wish World. Linda Amen. Asked why 0 was not a choice. But it totally is. It totally is, girl. Totally is. Go for it.
Totally.
Devin gave it a 0.5. Chantal gave it a 5.5. She says if the show is about hope, then she'll give it to them. Our good friend H gave it a 2. She says, just because I like the idea of the Wish Realm, but it didn't feel like a winner finale. I give no shit about Regina and not enough screen time for the other characters. Rumble was okay in this ep, and it was something good, especially after this ship has been destroyed a million times by the writers. No CS time is a real shame. She likes Outlaw Queen. She hopes that they will make it cool, more like 3B Outlaw Queen, and she wonders how Wish Realm Robin will react to Baby Robin, which is interesting. I didn't actually think about that. Will we get to see this Robin meet Baby Robin? Tranquility gave it 3 out of 10 because when she forced herself to rewatch, she actually found a couple of interesting things, # foreshadowing. I'd like to know more. Send us more of those thoughts.
Yeah, please. Don't sleep on that.
Brandy says she's glad that we finally know who the hooded figure is, and she can't wait to see what's next for Outlaw Queen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got on Twitter.
On Tumblr, Little Miss Passionate gave it a 4.5. Monica, a.k.a. Captain Swan and Clintasha, gave it an 8. Captain Charming, the beautiful Princess Emma and how she looked, and Aladdin, I'll never forget his little ew, saved this episode. Of Ships and Swans says, I'd probably say 7. I'm a little more forgiving of things, but I get why people weren't happy. I did like the premise, although the mechanics could have been thought out more. I love seeing an incarnation of Princess Emma, even if it wasn't the one I wanted. The highlight for me, apart from that, was Aladdin and Robin at the end. There were some gems in the episode, so yeah, a 7.
Okay.
Profoundly Faded Princess says, a solid 8. I enjoyed it. I loved Princess Emma and Prince Henry. Despite the disappointment of no alternate universe Killian, it's fine. Good setup for the next half. Roll on, March. That one says 4.5. The only enjoyable things were Captain Charming and Aladdin and Jasmine. Everything else was a bowl of what the fuck. Well, except for Emma waking up because she didn't want Henry to become a killer, but everything else is bleh. October Faye says, why is 0 not an option? We've already been through this. It is. quite possibly the worst episode they've ever done. 4.11 was so bad that I re-edited it to make more sense. There's no escaping this one. That was from This Is Even Harder Than a Blog. Bleeblug says probably a 4 for me. It wasn't completely void of entertainment. I loved the Captain Charming with Jasmine. I loved Sassy Aladdin, and the costumes were incredible. But I feel like they kind of screwed themselves with the fake AU. Too many things didn't make sense, and I'm still bitter that Regina had to kill Snowing. I think that she would have given their hearts back and tried another method. It was unnecessarily cruel to Emma, even if they justified her, actions. Spartan Guard says it was a 7 for me. Not the strongest writing on the whole, but I love what it's setting up. Love the Captain Charming Jaladin scenes, and love that love the Robin and Hooded figure reveals, as well as the parallels to the pilot. And finally, Kristen, aka Emma Loves Killian X, says -100 with a laughing crying emoji.
Okay, and then on Instagram we've got 2 comments. So the first one was from Jess Ephraim, and she's like, sigh, just for you guys. I actually liked it. It wasn't my favourite, but I didn't hate it. I understand that it was a wish world of the evil queen. I loved Emma humming in the forest. I thought Killian was trying to do what he could. I didn't think he was just hanging around. He was doing what heroes do, never giving up. Also, he looked after Henry. All in all, I was fine with it, but I will add this comment. Did you notice in the Evil Queenland, Henry had Emma's fight and had more confidence raised by Emma than in normal world raised by Regina? Also, if I was Emma, I would have jumped into the portal.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that point?
So, which doesn't make any sense, considering that they showed her so weak. Like, if he was going to be raised like that, then you would have think that his mother would have been the strong one to teach him, unless he was taught by Gramps.
If Emma is not the savior, right? Someone has to be the savior, and so my thought on Henry being so strong is that it skipped a line, so it skipped Emma and went to Henry, which is why Henry was willing to do what needed to be done, which was kill friggin' Regina. So my thought on that is that, yeah, maybe Daddy Charming taught him, or Grandpa Charming taught him, but I think that in Wish World, that would mean Henry is the savior.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'd like to see where they take that, because now they're going to have to unfreeze them and deal with that whole kind of nonsense. But that's my thought, is that, and I thought that, it was like, oh, dang, he's going to kill her because he's the savior. And then they froze it. Yeah. So
it's like, yeah, I get that it's like Emma growing up without challenges. I get all that. And, you know, that's like wish world, blah, 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 blah. But it's a bit weird. Anyway, moving on. The next comment is by Swan Princess. They completely ruined Emma's character just to make Regina look better. I'd give it a 1. No. And there we go.
Damn right. Kim, you wanted to revise your rating.
Yeah. Upon revisiting and thinking this over, I'm going to give it a 2.
Oh, yeah. She dropped
I'm going to go back down to a 2. And the only saving parts were legitimately Captain Charming.
Yeah.
That was it. But no, that's a legitimate thought I had was, so did the Ogre Wars not happen? Like, so if we... There had to be some sort of strife in the kingdom. You can't just have, like, a happy little... I'm just struggling, which is why I'm going back down to a 2.
It's too many questions. Too many questions.
And why is Granny still alive, but Snow and Charming are old? Why is Granny still knocking about? Why dwarves the same age?
Where's Ruby? Like, what the fuck's going on with Ruby? Like, what? Yeah, that is a good point about Granny. How the fuck is Granny still alive if David and Snow are so fucking old?
Yeah. You know, I honestly thought that Henry was playing Emma's brother by the way that Emma was acting.
Like, no, me too.
Yeah.
Because my first thought was, who's the father? And is that actually the son? Like, is that actually her son?
Well, because she was so, like...
That work of art on the wall.
She was so dainty and princessy. Like, it was just like she had no backbone.
She was 30 years old, right? And she was hiding behind trees going, Daddy, save me! I mean, like,
in real life,
who actually acts like that?
No, well, what mother would do that? I just don't...
Yeah. Exactly. I'm just saying that Emma was too OOC.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
So, that wraps up 6A. We are now on hiatus for another 3 months, even though they told us that wasn't going to happen this year. But here we are. Here we are again with another March return.
The positive is that it's going to be back like 2 days for my birthday, so I'm just going to be happy.
There you go.
Well, we'll be that much closer going to Van, so hey.
Yes.
So let's move on to happier things like fan art.
Yes, like pretty things.
So what do you guys love about fan art? Like, what are some of your favorite types of fan art, whether it's manips or drawings or gift sets? What do you guys, like, seek out when you're online that just kills you?
So for me, I absolutely love CSAU Week. I love the gift sets and, like, the, like, potential stories and then fanfics come out and the fan art as well, like the fan art to go with it. It's just, it brings out the best of the fandom, and that week is always the most positive time to be part of the fandom because it's the time when we're the most creative, and I absolutely adore it.
I'm so glad you brought that up because that is such, honestly, the best week of the year in the fandom for sure.
Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love AU art so much because I'm not an artist myself, so to see people that are kind of, I feel like they're picking ideas out of my brain that I could not produce myself. So to see those ideas come to life, it is so great. And this fandom is so freaking talented that I can't stand it sometimes. So yeah, AU art is just gives me so much life.
Yeah. Especially after, you know, wanting all the AU stuff from this past episode and being disappointed by it, and have all of the rest of the fan to be like, I'm gonna fix it.
Every person out there who made gift sets of Killian and Princess Emma, thank you.
Yes.
God bless you, fam.
It fills a hole that, you know, that the writers give us. They don't fulfill what we want them to fulfill, so we have to go seek it somewhere else, and that's perfect from gifts or manips or edits or whatever.
Exactly. I love it all. I won't sugarcoat it. Yeah, give me a good gift set where I can just cry my heart out over some angsty shit. Give me a good manip where I can see like a story being brought to life in a different AU, like whether it's Canon Divergence AU, like a Lieutenant Duckling scene or something like that. And then,
or Smut.
You know,
sorry.
Or Smut.
Yes, Smut Week. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, JMO. Didn't.
It's okay. No, I totally agree with you on that one. All the actual people who can actually draw and are painstakingly putting together all of these details on all these different mediums. It's fucking incredible.
Like for me, I'm like, because we haven't had a scene. The smutty ones are my favorite, and whenever I find a good one, I'm like, I get like such a high. I'm like, yes, I can stare at this all day, because like we haven't had it. Hint, hint, people, we have not had one. So.
I'm clapping like Eddie Murphy in The Nutty Professor. Hercules, Hercules.
Yes.
I'm a sucker for gift sets in comparison to other shows, other movies, other things like that, where you're drawing parallels to other ones.
Yeah.
JMO does a really good job of tagging me in the ones that are Star Wars related because reasons. But
No, really?
Please tell us the reason, Sarah Kim.
I had no idea.
what are you doing?
So I'm a sucker for things like that where, I really like a gift set and I will look at other fan art and I'm insanely jealous because I cannot even do like a proper stick figure. I am not musician, singing, you know, acting, things like that, I can totally handle with drawing. Dude, I can't even draw a friggin' stick figure. Are you kidding me? So, for me, I will see these things, and I am just insanely jealous, and I am blown away by these men and women who can do something like that, because I could only hope to do that in my wildest dreams, and everyone always like, oh, just practice. Well, a shitty stick figure is still a shitty stick figure, 10 stick figures. So, there's not a lot of room for growth on there, but gift sets and things like that, drawing parallels, I am 100% a freaking sucker for.
So, JMO, who are some of your favorite artists?
Oh dear.
Not to put you on the spot, but I'm putting you on the spot.
Funny enough, two of them are going to be joining us later on. But other than them, Julie, Coco Hook 38, anything she does, whether it's, doing gift sets, her own art, the Tiny Hook series, taking 10 of the Tigger's Tiny Hook series and making it live action with all these different scenes is fucking brilliant. 10 of the Tigger, obviously. You got to go with the classics, Sarah Mack and Svenja. I started talking to someone else. Her name is Amanda. Her handle is You Had the Water and Pop Tart. We've wrecked her stuff before. Her art is incredible as well.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Lindsay, who are some of your favorites?
Well, I agree with all JMO's recs, but I also recommend Rose Red Art, J. Cody Art, Rolly Jodger Jones. Who else have you not mentioned?
I mentioned them all.
I know. Okay, yeah, so I'll leave it then. But fans, absolutely brilliant fandom. I love you all.
Yeah.
Gabby, anyone else we've missed so far on your list?
Well, Captain Kitten is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And Sea Starved on Tumblr is awesome.
Oh, good, yes.
I love
you for mentioning the Manip goddesses.
Yes. Our own Ray is awesome.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sarah.
That's okay.
Cut it out. but that's the only ones I can think of right now.
Kim?
Yeah, no, I'm tapped out. You guys named, like, everyone that I shamelessly follow and stuff.
If you'd have, like, warned us, you can ask us that. I would have had, like, an essay list. Seriously.
It just came off the top of my head.
I had to stop her because she was going to name everybody.
Yeah.
I would add Lamora to the list.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, yes.
Yes. I just saw a picture of hers that I liked. Sorry.
Also, I'm not sure how she pronounces this. Merit or Marit, who does...
Oh, yes, I know who you're talking about.
The beautiful, like, red and black drawings, or the... they almost look like ghosts.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Oh, I know what you mean.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Love it.
I was going to add, in Damon's Eyes from Redbubble, I have, like, this drawing, framed artwork on my wall that she did. It's awesome. That's all I can think of right now.
It's also, and forgive me for the pronunciation, but there's Eleonora Nascimbeni. She's Italian, so please forgive me. But she has an amazing Redbubble store with some beautiful digital art on there as well.
Yes.
I think it's great that some of these wonderful artists put all their work available for us to purchase, because we can all have like beautiful phone cases and laptop cases and mugs and shirts and all these great products with some of this beautiful work on it. I just think that that is the coolest thing.
I mean, my phone case is Saramek.
Mine is Svenja. And I also think it's really, really cool that our amazing cast of Once Upon a Time takes the time to give recognition to these artists as well.
For sure.
Jen is always posting fan art on her Instagram. So is Bex. So is Lana. Adam does Fan Art Friday every week, which is awesome. So I just think that's so cool that, our cast takes the time to appreciate these people as well. And it also just, I'm sure it makes those artists day when they see that they're being recognized. Like, that's probably, it's such an amazing feeling. So Catherine over on Twitter said that some of her favorite artists are Svenja, Flipper Brain, Saramek, and Coco Hook. Jessica on Twitter says, who isn't my fave? Chookers 38, Javo Sketches, Flipper Brain, Svenja, Saramek, etc. And then Saramek sent a lovely message that just says, I love our fandom artists. They're so clever and unique.
Yay.
Oh, that's lovely.
I want to welcome to the show two very special guests for our Spotlight on Fan Art segment. We have Chris, a.k.a. Flipper Brain, and Bianca, a.k.a. Ships Ahoy.
Woo!
Yay!
So Chris and Bianca are both amazing contributors to the CS fandom, and we thought it would be fun to kind of pick their brains a little and get a little behind-the-scenes scoop into how that they create that their amazing fan art. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the first question I have is for both of you. What is it about Captain Swan that inspires you to create fan art?
Oh, gosh.
Well, obviously, Colin O'Donohue is pretty easy on the eyes. So,
I hadn't noticed.
So it's pretty joyful for me to draw his face. And so that's really what inspired me. I mean, aside from the fact that I just love the story and I've loved the show really since the get-go, even though I only joined the fandom recently, you know, he's just too beautiful not to pay attention to.
For me, I think it's just they're so pretty together. I think you guys can agree on that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Hottest couple ever.
I know. Yeah. Yes. Want to immortalize that forever and make sure it's on the internet and shove it in everyone's faces.
Yeah,
exactly. The perfect OTP. Okay.
Yes.
They are the couple that everyone ships without even watching the show.
Yeah.
Just by looking at them.
There's that one like post on Tumblr where it's like, I don't even know who like what the show is. I don't even watch it, but like I totally ship them. And
yeah.
Kind of like
I love that post.
So another question for both of you. I know that you both work in graphic design, obviously outside of the fandom. What made you want to bring those skills into your fandom life?
Well, I've been working in advertising for a very long time. And I started out as an illustrator in an illustration studio and then moved to an advertising agency. Unfortunately, the market for illustration just isn't that great in the Detroit area. So even though I did a lot of freelance for a long time, I kind of just stopped doing it. There just wasn't a lot of demand for my particular style. But once I really got into watching Once Upon a Time and got into the fandom and realized that, you know, hey, there's people out there that want to see this stuff. And it was really a lot of fun for me to produce it. It really sort of rekindled my joy for doing illustration again. So, you know, I'll be grateful forever for Captain Swan for, you know, giving me that drive and desire to draw again. So it's been a real pretty joyful for me to, you know, be able to share stuff. And, you know, I'm really appreciative that people seem to like it.
Oh, that's lovely.
So good. For me, recently just graduated in 2014. So, you know, I got my
fine art degree in graphic design, and I was working, but at the time I used to work like two jobs and I had school, and then all of a sudden, you know, you graduate and you're like, I have all this free time. I had skills, but like I felt like I needed to practice some more, and you know, the best way to practice is to make manips and stuff like that. And I've been doing it like since high school. Like I started with Harry Potter and that fandom, and then you know, that fandom kind of died down a little bit and not as many people were producing things anymore. And I've had a Tumblr for like 7 years or something crazy like that. So I recently just started logging back on, and I saw like all like the great GIF sets that everyone was making. And I'm like, I don't know how to make a GIF. Like, I feel like they should have taught me this in school. So I went and, you
totally
know,
agree.
Yeah, I started, my whole goal, like how I was rationalizing it, other than like being a total like fangirl, was that, you know, oh, I'm practicing. Like, I really need to figure out this like technique on Photoshop, and instead of messing around with like ugly stock photos, like why not, you know, mess around with pretty people here. That's kind of how I started, and like why I wanted to bring those skills into the fandom. And of course, you know, I felt like if I was contributing to the fandom, that, you know, like other people would appreciate it, and, you know, bring more people into the fandom, so it's like a little bit bigger and stuff like that. Yeah, and I think it's been pretty nice so far. I met like a lot of nice people, so it's been great.
Another question for both of you. What is it about certain scenes that make you want to create art for it?
Well, really, when I started doing this, one of the reasons why I started recreating scenes was particularly in Neverland and a lot of the sort of Dark One scenes, interaction between Emma and Killian. They were so, the lighting was so dark that I couldn't see Killian's eyes, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't see the details that I wanted to see. So I really got in there, you know, and I wanted to like recreate those scenes so that I could see his face, and her face, of course. So that's really why I started, was kind of mining out those details, and it sort of has grown into, you know, Captain Swan, dancing for the Bolshoi, and, you know, doing a tango. But it, you know, so it's branched out into a lot of different areas, but that's really where it started.
Give me all of the details in the face.
Every detail of his face. Yes.
And we thank you for those details.
Yes.
I think I started creating at the end of season 4. Up until then, I've just been like a quiet observer. And then I think like the last episode, the season finale, where Emma says, I love you. Like, really, for some reason, like really hit me. So it was just so dramatic, and it was so sad. Like, she just said, I love you. She's like, poof, gone away. And then I was like, I'm really sad about this, and the season was really nice. So I, you know, really wanted to invoke some sort of emotion into what I create. So when I make like GIF sets with like lyrics and stuff, I tend to like make more angsty stuff.
Yes.
Mostly everything I do is like really sad, or like, I get a lot of tags back on my work, like, why would you do this? Someone take away her Photoshop or something.
No. I love it. Keep it going.
So, yeah. So I tend to do more scenes that are sadder, which are, I mean, I tried and go back and do lighter things, but it's just, I don't know how to make happy things, apparently.
That's good.
I love that emotion, and I know it's like angst and everyone hates it, but I think it's good when the payoff is like, you know, they get reunited and we get like this attack cheek kisses from Hannah's season five. So
Don't give me PLV, damn.
That's my job.
We love the angst, Bianca.
Yeah, you're in good company with the angst crew over here.
Yes, you are.
It hurts so good, I think.
And exactly.
I just need to share that. Like, yes. I can't keep it inside. So I'm like, oh, I need to, like, other people need to hurt with me.
Spread it around.
So, Bianca, do you prefer GIFing or your Manips? Which venue do you prefer doing?
Oh, gosh. I think now that when I first started, I preferred the photo manipulation because it was easier. But it took so long. Like, it takes me so long to create something for some reason. Like, I sit there and I can't just, like, I can't think of what I'm going to do at first. So with GIFing, it's like a lot easier. You kind of have your scenes or your clips and you can just clip them out and it takes less time to create. Like, you know how fast people can turn around GIF sets like that night and you're like, where, how did you get this? Like,
literally my reaction every time an episode airs. How do you guys do that so quickly?
And I was up already.
Or how do you do it at all? That's just my question.
So I do prefer GIFing just because it's easier. And for some reason, like, people gravitate to that more. When I post Manips, like, they get, like, shoved into, like, the Tumblr space. And you don't really ever see them. Like, I made a few. And then all of a sudden, like, they didn't really get a lot of notes. So then when I started GIFing is when I actually started gaining some sort of traction. And it's actually really really cool to do because, you know, you can put multiple scenes together and sync them up or, you know, make them, you know, and it's kind of like video manipulation in that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I prefer GIFs over Manips in this case. But Manips have their use, and I love doing it. It just takes so much time.
Rachel, who is not with us today, but she understands the struggle.
Yes, she does.
So, Chris, I'm dying to know, what was your reaction when Jennifer posted your work on her Instagram?
Oh, my God. Well, I was getting ready to go to work, and all of a sudden I started getting texts, and, you know, my Twitter feed blew up, and I couldn't even stay long enough to kind of appreciate it. So I went to work and, you know, it was just a mess the entire day, you know, I didn't really want to say anything because I think people at work think I'm crazy pretty much. You know, cause I have a couple of shirts that I've made, you know, with Captain Hook things. Like right now I'm wearing my Captain Floor shirt for this occasion.
Yes.
So, you know, I didn't want to say too much, but, you know, I couldn't keep it in. So anyways, I told people and they're pretty excited about it. You know, it was like my 15 minutes of fame, I guess, but, it felt pretty good to get noticed, especially since, you know, it came out of the blue, like she just found it and posted it. So, it was pretty exciting and still pretty exciting.
You know, she has a secret Tumblr somewhere that she just stalks all of the fan art. And
well, yes. I think she must look at stuff because, you know, she posts things periodically and it's pretty awesome that she does that. You know, that she supports, you know, the artists that are creating stuff. I wish Colin would do it. He'll post something of mine. And I'm definitely, when I go to Vancouver, I'm going to print out some things. I'll print that out and get her to sign it.
I'm excited.
Oh, that's going to be such a cool moment for you.
share some stuff with those guys and should be pretty fun. And meet some of you girls too.
I know. Yeah. I was saying, I'm so excited to meet you, Chris.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Flipper Brain herself.
I know.
I'm like my own little mini celebrity. Sorry.
Yeah.
So Chris, I feel like you have this signature color scheme, and it's one of the things that makes your work so great. How did you decide on that color scheme?
You know, that's a good question. I sort of have created over time, like, a bunch of backgrounds, and then I'll kind of, like, just adjust them depending, you know, if I want, you know, like, for this last, like, Marry Me one that I did, I wanted kind of, like, sunset-y sort of thing, so I just kind of looked through my archive of gradients and different backgrounds that I have, and it's like, oh, okay, that one looks kind of sunset-y. And so they tend to kind of tie together in that way because the colors are similar. And some things just work better with flesh tones. So, because I try and be pretty limited with color, although some have more than others, you know, so I don't try, I stay away from a lot of green, but that's kind of the method to my madness. I sort of just, I've always used a lot of color, and I like bright, sort of happy colors. So I've just kind of created this set of things that I draw from and then make adjustments to it accordingly.
I love it because even in the darkest, most angsty if I've seen, you still bring this brightness to it. And I just love that. It almost gives, you know, whatever angsty scene it is, just like this essence of hope because of the bright color. I love that.
There is. There's a little hope. There's always hope.
Yes.
About how long does it take you to do one of your drawings?
You know, it sort of depends. Obviously, the scenes, if they're, you know, they exist, it's a lot easier. Some of these other ones, like couple of the dancing ones that I've done, I have to look for photo reference, or it just takes longer. You know, sometimes I'll shoot my own hands, you know, for poses and stuff like that. Oh. So if you see Killian's hand has stubby, girly fingers, then it's probably because it's my hand. So obviously those take longer. I mean, and a lot of times, like, I'll start working on something like that, the proposal one, I had started quite a while ago. And, you know, I don't know, I work on something for a while and I get bored with it and I move on to something else and come back and, you know, change things or, edit this and that. So, I mean, I guess it could take, you know, a few hours over the course of maybe 3 or 4 days, to do one. And then maybe a scene I might be able to, you know, turn around in 3 or 4 hours.
Question for both of you. What programs do you guys use?
I pretty much work exclusively in Photoshop. But, you know, sometimes I'll sketch things like some of the lettering that I've done. You know, I'll do it by hand and scan it in and then draw it. But, yeah, pretty much Photoshop. Like the cards that I did those in Illustrator.
Mostly for GIFs, you're mostly working in Photoshop. I did a series of, like, I think I called it, like, Captain Swan scenes, like, back, like, I don't remember, like, at the end of season 5. It's been a while. And so I started doing those, and I actually did those a combination of Photoshop, and I actually also used InDesign, which is, like, a layout program done by Adobe. So... it's just to set the type, and so I did all the coloring and Photoshop, and then I brought that photo in and did it in InDesign. And then I'm also working on another project that's mostly in InDesign, which I'm kind of excited about. So,
sounds great.
And Bianca, you kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but when you're using lyrics in your sets, what is it about a particular song that when you hear it, it makes you want to use the lyrics?
Normally, if this song has been stuck in my head for, like, weeks on end, then that means I have to create a GIF set or something like that. And that's one way to get a song out of your head.
That's very true.
Sometimes some lyrics, it's mostly the lyrics that, like, jump out at me. Sometimes it's the mood of the song. There are, like, people have made playlists before, like Captain Swan playlists. I know some people have made, and I started making my own. because I'm like listening to a bunch of songs. I'm like, this really reminds me of that time when, like, you know, or something like that. And that's usually how it happens. And it's most of the songs I choose are usually I come to on my own. I do have like an inbox full of requests people have given me, but the song really has to jump out and inspire me in order for me to actually make a gist out of it. And I actually have to like listening to it. If I don't, then I'm like, I just look up the lyrics and I'm like, okay, I can deal with this. Use it instead. But if the song, I used to choreograph for a color guard, which
yes!
I did color guard for 10 years, and so I choreographed and coached, and so listening to music and, like, you know, thinking of the feel and the tone and look of the lyrics has always been something that I've done, and so I just kind of translated that to GIF sets now.
Chris, what made you decide to break out from doing canon scenes to doing headcanon scenes? And, like, where do you get the ideas? Do you get them from fics? Do they just come out of your head? Are they requests from people?
It's sort of a combination of both. I actually, you know, I'd sort of drawn the things that I wanted to see. And, you know, not that there's not other stuff that I could go back. And sometimes I will go back into things and redo them. You know, some of the earlier drawings that I've done, you know, I look at them and I sort of wish they would disappear. So I might do them again. But yeah, I mean, it was more like I kind of had the scene thing had sort of played itself out a little bit. And there was a lot of things like, you know, Emma and Killian eating Chinese food and, you know, by the fire, you know, that the scenes that we didn't get to see that mm-hmm. I wanted to see. So that was a lot of it. And just a lot of fun, you know, gee, what would it be like if they were on Dancing with the Stars or, you know, that kind of thing. I wanted to see like some of that stuff. So some of that's out of my head. And then I get a lot of actually smutty fan art requests.
I've got
sort of a list of things that I'm trying to get to in on that front. So I was searching for some reference one of my tabs. I'm probably going to get fired from my job. I'm going to have to clear my history because I've got some pretty sweet tabs.
Oh, no. Right now.
That's hilarious. So.
Sarah, I'm so glad you asked this question because I was totally going to ask her that like later on if you didn't. Because I want to know, was that her idea or was that someone else's idea to do this smut? I love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, who's going to turn away from a Captain Swan threesome? You know, it's just
exactly.
It's something that you need. You like, just need to.
I still wanted to put that as my phone background, but I was like, well, I might do this.
I have it on mine. It's my lock screen.
Yes!
Love it. Chris, you are awesome.
Bianca, you've done a little bit of fic banners, including one for our own JMO.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you plan to do in the future? You know, do people come to you and say, hey, can you do this for me? And is that something you want to continue to do?
Yeah, I actually love making fic banners. I think JMO and I were talking, and I don't remember, and I made one out of the blue for her, I think.
I remember that day. I cried. I legit bawled because I couldn't take the feels. And she just offered it, and I was like, okay. And I'm like, I love you so much.
But I'm obsessed with reading fan fiction. If you write it, I probably have read it. Especially Captain Swan, and I've done one for Justine too, and yeah. she came to me, but it was part of, like, I offered, like, I was like, hey, I'm taking requests, or, like, it was part of, like, a, like, hey, I just hit so many followers, so, you know, I'm opening my requests up, and she was like, I have a fic that I'm working on, and it was her Call the Midwife AU.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Born and Paid, Followed by Joy.
Yeah, She actually told me about it like a long while ago, and I was like, yeah, totally, like whenever you want to cash in on this, then let me know. She let me read like the first chapters, and it was like I got really captured by, you know, she wanted to use the yellow bike, like, and, you know, Killian, and it's set in like the 1950s London or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really liked the style of Call the Midwife, so I really wanted to encapsulate that into like a little banner. And then for like Love and the Time of the Gods, I just love Greek mythology, so it was just I just really wanted to do it for Jenna, so that's how it came. But I love doing fic banners, and I especially love it when someone approaches me, so it's really nice.
And when you're doing them, do you try to capture the whole essence of the story in the banner, or do you kind of pick like a scene, you know that sticks out to you to try to capture?
I've done, okay, so JMO's in a little bit of trouble. I made one for her Werewolf Supernatural AU. Do you remember this JMO?
I still have it on my phone. And I know I haven't updated it in like 2 years. I need to get back to it.
I'm calling you out on I love that banner, and no one's seen it. But okay, maybe I'll just post it.
I will make a note. There's many chapters. I think the muse might finally be speaking to me on that, so hopefully I'll have it updated sometime next year.
I have so many Secret Santa gifts to post.
That one I try to encapsulate like different parts of it in one banner. But for like Love and the Time of God, it was scenes that stood out to me. So there's like one that I made where he's in, I don't know if you guys seen it, but it kind of looks like a aesthetic post, and he's in his like Colin's in his knight costume, and there's like this one scene where, you know, Emma's crying because they just saw Balefire, and she's like all torn up about it, and there was like this one line, I can't remember it, I'm sorry.
I'm finding it on my phone right now, girl. Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
But that scene really popped out to me, so I made one for that. And I think Emma, the whole Camelot aesthetic kind of almost matches
it does.
What JMO's written. So I kind of like try to merge those two together. So I guess I try to encapsulate the whole story, but I like to tease like certain scenes.
I found it. The line was, if I could take away your pain, I would.
Yeah, that's so sad. But it's really nice. And I really wanted to encapsulate that in that banner. And then there's some banners where it's very general.
Chris, your playing card line is so unique and so cool. Where did the inspiration come from to do that?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I just decided that I wanted to do some playing cards because they seemed like, well, Killian of Hearts just seemed like it made sense to me somehow. So it sort of grew into a small series. I really don't have a reason why I did it. It was just something that came into my head. I like that. I wanted to do something that was more graphic and drawn in Adobe Illustrator, just to sort of spread my wings a little bit and try some other things. So that's kind of where it came from. I've looked into, unfortunately, just from, you know, usage rights, et cetera, I looked into having maybe a set, like doing a whole set of cards and having them printed, but it's kind of a slippery slope with rights. Mm. So I kind of abandoned like doing the whole set. But they were a lot of fun to do. I may go back and do a few more.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, they're so cool. Question for both of you. And this is probably going to be really tough, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but what's been one of your favorite pieces that you've created?
For me, it would be a toss-up between probably the Dark Hook Emma Killian threesome.
Yes!
I just love Dark Hook's face in that one so much. I just could stare at it forever. And then this last one that I did, the Marry Me one, turned pretty well. It's like I've been spending some time looking at that one. It turned out pretty beautifully, so I was happy with it.
So hard. Like, I can tell you the ones I don't like. I think one that really kind of sticks with me is the Once Upon a Dream CS lyrics GIF set that I made. And I don't know if you guys have seen it. I set a GIF set to Once Upon a Dream from Sleeping Beauty. And it's like all Camelot themes. And it's kind of like greenish in hue. And it kind of, that GIF set kind of came to me really quickly, believe it or not. So it kind of starts like, I know you, I walked with you once upon a dream, and it's like Emma and Killian walking in the forest with that horse. And it kind of goes, and then it switches at a certain lyric. It says, I know it's true that visions are seldom are they all they seem. So it kind of switches to like from this nice Camelot, like nice Camelot lovely scenes to like, you know, the dark swan, dark hook when they're in the field and they're, you know, he's mad that he used the, that she used the sword on him. And I love that I took this like Disney song that's supposed to be about love and like be really light, and I kind of like switched it on its head. So that's one of the ones that that really stick out to me. Actually, like all of my CS lyrics, most of them actually.
Do either of you have any advice for people who are looking to try their own hand at fan art?
It's a tough one. I mean, I've been doing this for so long that this will date me, but I started working in advertising before there were desktop computers. So, drawing by hand was really the norm, and learning how to sketch, and, you know, we didn't have the tools that we have now. So I guess my advice would be to don't ignore the basics, that, you know, actual drawing and practicing is really important, that you know, try not to jump right on the computer and start working before you've kind of figured out what it is that you want to do, and you've kind of got your chops, you know, from a drawing standpoint.
Yeah, that's great advice.
My advice is to just do it. Practice makes perfect in this way. Like, I started, and all my old stuff I think is complete. Like, what was I thinking? It's all pixelated. It's not working. But then everything I learned was trial and error. And by uploading things and knowing what people like and what, you know, things didn't get received as well. So, you know, just go and, you know, find a tutorial and copy it exactly, or, you know, as best as you can. And then you adapt those techniques and into something original. And then that's where you get practice. And that's how I practice. I find like coloring tutorials or something like that on Tumblr or, you know, Google. And I learn how someone else did it, because I don't believe in reinventing the wheel too much. If someone's figured out a technique that works, then you know, you might as well just try it, and you learn something from it. So if someone wants to learn how to make GIFs or start photo manipulating. The problem is that Photoshop isn't like a readily available program. You have to buy it and you have to have a computer. So it's not like you can scan. If you really are interested, you know, you kind of find ways to figure it out. Like when I first started back in high school, I didn't have Photoshop. I couldn't afford it and my parents couldn't afford it. So I got like, you know, a lower end program and, you know, just started working on that. And I was able to make decent man-ups and stuff like that on it. I couldn't make GIFs. I don't even know if GIFs were a thing. you just gotta do it and, you know, take the time to actually learn the programs that you need to learn.
Absolutely. I have one final question for both of you. Could you give us any teasers as to what you might be working on next?
Well, one of the tabs open on my browser right now is erotic spanking.
What? So, I'm really awake.
So that, you know, if that gives you an idea of what could be coming up.
We are woke.
Yeah.
There goes my raging headache.
And something else is raging.
The thirst is real.
Mine's not as fun as that. actually, I'll just tell you guys, because I don't know if when I'll post it or finish it. I've been working on this idea of character mood boards. And this is what I was talking about earlier about I'm doing this project that's like laid out all mostly in InDesign. And basically I'm taking each character and I'm laying out a mood board for them. I don't know if you guys are familiar with what that is. Yeah. So I'm like basically taking, you know, a color scheme, a like, you know, aesthetics board, and, you know, typography and, you know, icons, and like putting that all in one post. But it's kind of been slow going because I've been a little busy with work.
Who needs work?
I do design. I am a graphic designer for a design agency here in town. So I've been kind of pulling 12-hour days, trying to get deadlines in. It's not glamorous, kids. If you want to be a graphic designer,
no, it isn't.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't want to do this in school, but they. that's one project that I'm working on. I have a lot of things in my drafts of GIF sets that I started, but you know, I couldn't find the right scenes, or like I couldn't get the right coloring right, so they kind of just sit there, and then sometimes they come back up. Like I recently posted the next 10 minutes from The Last 5 Years the musical. And that one actually sat in my in my drafts for like months before I actually went back to it and started working on it. So there are things that people may have requested like last year that I might pop up again this year. And I'm also working on I did this like celebrate CS Ahoy kind of thing where I hit 1,000 followers and I was like, hey, I'll make just that sweet. On like why you love Captain Swan, and at the time it sounded like a really great idea, and then I started working on it and I was like, oh, I'm so busy I can't work on it. My goal is to finish that sometime soon, so if you requested on that, I'm sorry, I am working on it and I am aware of it, so yeah.
You ladies want to give yourselves some shout outs as to like where everyone can find your work?
You can find my work mostly on Tumblr. It's Ships Ahoy. tumblr.com, and
best gifts in the world.
Yeah, I have a being calling homepage where it says edits, and so if you just click that, you'll find everything I've made.
Ooh, gotta go.
So organized, I'm loving it.
And I do have a portfolio, like a professional portfolio. It's biancarosedesign.com. It's kind of boring. People like it. So it's mostly like graphic design layout stuff, and it's kind of old. So, and I do have a main blog, but I don't post GIFs on it because I mostly just do Captain Swan. But my main blog is Bianca Rose, and instead of an E, it's a 3 at the end.
Fancy.
Pretty much, I'm at FlipperBrain everywhere. on Instagram, Twitter, and on Tumblr. And then I also have a website that has, which I need to update, but it has some of my more commercial work, is pinkchocolatedesign.com.
Ooh. I know. Sounds good.
I'm intrigued.
So for all of our listeners out there, if you're interested in purchasing any of Chris's work, she does have a Redbubble page. Flipper Brain, you can find her on there and purchase all kinds of fun goodies.
Maybe get my next phone case from her.
Yeah, as a side too, that not that this necessarily matters, but I don't keep any of the money that I make. It all goes to Colin's charity.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome.
So you're supporting a good
amazing.
That is
oh,
amazing.
You star.
Chris, we love you anymore.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much to both of you for coming on and chatting with us. It was such a delight.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great talking to you girls.
You too.
We love you guys.
Thanks, guys.
You're great. Welcome.
That was so much fun. Thanks so much, guys, for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
He's awesome.
So let's move on to Rex for the week. J-Mo, yeah. You got a rec ready?
I actually have two. Woo. And Woo. I'm pandering because it's for both of the people that were graciously joined us on the show today. Because
shout
I'm like
out.
That. Yeah. So my first rec is by Ships Ahoy, and it's one of her lovely CS Lyric gift sets, and it was just a bunch of beautiful scenes of Captain Swan hugging and caressing and being gentle with each other, and you know, doing casual intimacy, which ended with the makeout on the couch, and it was to Philip's home.
Aww,
it's so pretty. And then, funny enough, my rec this week for Flipper Brain was her latest one, the Marry Me one, with the proposal. Mm-hmm. I lost my shit when I saw it. I was at work, and I was like, why did you have to post this at work while I'm at work? I can't properly freak out, but it's absolutely stunning.
It is.
So I tend to scroll through my Twitter feed very quickly, but this drawing popped up on my feed and I had to stop and be like, oh my god, and stare at it for like a good 5 minutes. It's by the amazing Zia Franny, and it's Hook and Emma, and it's got like a purplish grayish tint to it, and it's just so well done. The detailing is amazing. They both look just stunning in it. So yeah, Zia Franny.
Yay.
So my recommendation is by Rose Red Art. It's on her Facebook page. She's got a really cute Camelot sketch of Emma and Killian Eskimo kisses. It's very cute. It's a standard sketch, but it's just beautiful, and I love the Camelot era. And she's really a good like art as well. So if you know, have a look on her page because she's really talented. And all it is, like, she puts so much detail into it. It's really great.
I'm going to rec this amazing drawing by Clara J. Ira. I have two.
That's who I was trying to think of.
Yeah, I was saving her for my rec. So I have, like, two drawings of her on my wall as well. She does amazing digital work. And this one is just Captain, it's just Captain Hook. It's Killian. But like, I think it's from season 3, Neverland. So he's in his jacket and he has, it's amazing detail. Like you could see like the details of his beard and chest hair, you know.
Hello.
Awesome. Check her out. She's on Redbubble as well, Society 6, and she has her own page on Facebook.
So I am coming to you with some Princess Emma Regal as fuck realness.
Yes!
Yes, Emma, it's from, beautiful.
From Amanda at You Had the Water in the Pop-Tart. We mentioned her earlier. And, like, this is everything I feel like I needed Emma, Princess Emma, to fucking be.
Yes.
And, like, she just looks like she's about to, like, lay down some serious magic and beat down and, like, but still be, you know, soft and warm and nice to her subjects, you know, like Snow, like, hey, there's that. Anyway, so the lighting on it is beautiful. Just, like, it took my breath away when I saw it. So that is my rec this week.
So that wraps it up for this week. As always, you can check us out on all of our social media. We are OUACS Podcast on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, WordPress, YouTube, Gmail, and you can like and subscribe us on iTunes, YouTube, Audioboom, and Pocket Casts. Next week, in the spirit of the holidays, we're going to do something really fun and talk about probably our favorite subject, Captain Swan Kisses.
Yay!
Yep, a whole episode of it. Be prepared.
Yep.
Let's get Thirst Fest Part 2.
Woo!
Yes!
Ending the year on a high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're going to be officially going on hiatus for a few weeks for the holidays and for some of January. So, sorry to say. But we will continue to keep you guys updated on social media. And we have a few fun ideas that we might try as well throughout the hiatus that you guys can be involved in. So stay tuned. We're working out all those fun ideas. We're also trying to plan some big, big stuff for Vancouver. So it's kind of why we're taking a little hiatus, so that we can plan for Vancouver. And also just
finish our costumes.
Yeah. Some of us have a lot of cosplays to finish and yeah.
Or start.
Or start is probably a better term.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I know. I'm so bad.
I'm so looking forward to seeing your Snow outfit. I need to see it.
I know. I need to do it.
Do the thing, Kimberly!
Sorry.
So hit us up on all of our social media. Send us your favorite CS kisses, and we will mention them on the show. And thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Bye! Bye.